Sunny I-77, Mid-Michigan's favorite hits with Brad Morgan. 2021 is the 40th anniversary of the iconic alternative rock band 10,000 Maniacs. This band from Jamestown, New York, gave us such classic songs as Trouble Me, What's the Matter Here, Hey Jack Kerouac, My Mother the War, Because the Night, Don't Talk, These Are Days, More Than This, and so many more. Now, I discovered the Maniacs in high school around the summer of 1989. I heard the song Trouble Me. And my discovery of that song introduced me to the genre we now call alternative or indie rock. But to me, in 1989, it was just great music like the Beatles or Joni Mitchell or Bob Dylan. The band I discovered back in 1989 is still playing, still evolving, still making great music today. They are undoubtedly the quintessential alternative rock band. And to me, they are a beloved treasure of American music, led by founding members Dennis Drew and Steve Gustafson. 10,000 Maniacs have always had a sound that breaks the boundaries of pop, rock, indie, folk, Americana, even reggae. This morning we have the pleasure of talking with 10,000 Maniacs founding member, keyboardist, and songwriter, Dennis Drew. Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, good morning, Brad. How are you?
We're doing well. We talked about my discovering the band back in 89, and you guys are still going strong. And I'll tell you, the band sounds amazing. They played Center for the Arts a few years ago, and speaking of playing live, Dennis, about a year ago, the world really changed with the pandemic, and it's really affected the arts. Can you speak to how that's affected the band and you? I know you're a fellow broadcaster as well, but what has it done to the arts and to 10,000 Maniacs?
Well, it's really difficult for the arts community. As you know, I also ran a radio station, a community radio station, which kept going. Everything was fine for radio because it's such usually a very small amount of people that work there. But we were our licensee was actually an arts center with a theater, and that all just shut down. So there are a lot of people, especially in the theater community, that are really hurting. And you know, sometimes it's the venues that are hurting, you know, more than some of the artists. Certainly the small theaters, the small bars and nightclubs, they're really taking a beating. It's been very difficult. And I know there have been some movements to get them money, and that's been a great thing to be able to get some money to these small venues, and things are gradually opening up now. The Maniacs got to make use of some of the grants and some of the things available, which helped most of the people in the band through the pandemic. Of course, I also had my radio station work that kept me going through the pandemic. But it's a big chunk of our lives that was taken away from us. Fortunately, we got together a little bit privately, which we really didn't have much time to do because we've been playing about 50 shows a year. And so we had an opportunity to start writing some new material, which was good for us, although it's been in fits and starts and a little bit slow. But we tried to make the best use of our time.
Yeah, and that's really all you can do. And what's neat, Dennis, is it looks like all the band members are really from upstate New York. You and Steve, I believe, are from Jamestown. John, Jerry Augustiniak, Mary, and I think Jeff might be from Buffalo. Is that right?
Well, sort of. Steve and I are from Jamestown. We went to high school together. We've known each other since 1972. John Lombardo is from the Jamestown area, too. He lived in a next-door town called Lakewood, which is, literally 5 minutes up the road from Jamestown. So he grew up in Lakewood. Jeff Erickson is a Jamestown guy. And he still lives in Jamestown, and Mary lived in about a half an hour away. She lived at Fredonia. Her dad was a professor at Fredonia State University.
Wow!
So Fredonia State College. Jerry's the only true Buffalo native, Jerry Augustiniak. But Jerry, Mary, and John do live in Buffalo now, and have lived in Buffalo probably for the last 30 years. John has So we consider them Buffalonians.
I like that word, Buffalonians. And speaking of Jamestown, what a neat town. It's not that different from Midland. And in fact, it was in Jamestown, we talked over email, of February 24th, 1981, jumping back in the band's history, that you and Steve and Rob and Natalie first played together in a band called Still Life. What do you remember, Dennis, about that very first gig back in 1981?
We got thrown out after the show. Yeah, that's what I remember. It was one of those, you know, new wave nights. And it was actually in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is about 45 minutes away, a bigger town. Erie is about 100,000 people. So it was new wave night. We drove out to Erie, brought a bunch of our young fans with us. And, you know, we played on a 10, the Wild Giraffes, I think, were the headline. And there was Tuesday night or something, is the way it was in 1981. You know, they didn't want to upset their regulars. So they had new wave night on Tuesday or something, or Monday. So we played, and the first song we ever did as Still Life with Rob and Natalie and Steve was Armalite Rifle by the Gang of Four. And I sang it, actually. So, you know, we did that, and we had a lot of really – well, it was 21 years old to drink, which was different. In New York State, it was 18 to drink. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of fans that were – younger, even though we never played a gig before, we knew the people that, you know, were going out. You know, we were part of the crew that was going out to see other bands. We'd go see John Lombardo's band, actually. So a lot of these young 18, 19, 20-year-olds came out to Erie to see us. And that upset the owners of the club. And we got into an altercation and got thrown out after our set, so we didn't see the rest of the bands. But we were pretty proud. It was a pretty punk rock thing to do, to get thrown out of your first gig. So I'll always remember that.
Well, you mentioned John Lombardo, and I think it was fall of 81 that you eventually did your first show as 10,000 Maniacs with John. Mm-hmm. And he was a very important contributor to the band, both then and now. Dennis, it sounds like John actually worked with Natalie on her songwriting and really was a main writer in the band and kind of always has been, right?
Yeah, you know, John's older than us, and he'd been in bands, you know, other bands for a while. John also has a master's degree in art, so he's a really smart guy, very well-educated guy, and he was a bit of a mentor to everyone, really, in Jamestown. Because he was the first guy to play Elvis Costello or Tom Petty or The Jam or The Kinks, any of the kind of the hip music. Everybody else was still playing Lynyrd Skynyrd and Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stone. So he was the first guy to really break out and do that stuff. So, you know, he would come to see us, and as we got together that summer of 81 and hanging out with John, you know, we turned this on to a lot more new music and began to teach us. You know, we learned together, but he guided us through the process of songwriting, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, intro. We started putting intros on songs and writing bridges to go in between, you know, verses and choruses, the classic Beatles middle eight. Mm-hmm. So we just learned all that stuff from John because he was just knowledgeable, and he's 5 years older than Steve and I, and, you know, 10 years older than Natalie. So he was really important to the development of our craft.
Yeah, it sounds like he really was. And I heard a story, and tell me if this is true. You know how stories go. That Steve Gustafson was on the air at a station you guys put on the air, and Rob called you guys up, I believe it was Steve, with a request, and that's kind of how you guys kind of hooked up with Rob. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, Rob had a band, too. But, yeah, we had a college radio station that we put on the air in 1978, Steve and I and a couple other people. We put on a radio station at the local community college, and it was was a 10-watt radio station, only, you know, went about a mile away, and it was crazy. It was Hendrix and the Sex Pistols and the Grateful Dead and the Scars and Mekons and stuff like that. So it was crazy. Both Rob and Natalie were listening to the station. And now Rob had a band called The Obsession, and they would play. We actually hired them to play a couple of parties for the radio station. We won party for the radio station, got them to play at the radio station party, and you know, met Rob. And then he just became a frequent listener. He worked nights, like 11 to 7 at one of the factories, so he would listen. At night to the radio station and call in to the DJ and make requests. Bill Nelson and Robert Fripp and all kinds of weird progressive music that he liked. And then one day Natalie showed up at the radio station with an armful of Roxy Music, David Bowie records, and wanted to play those records. And she ended up doing a radio show, too. She was only 16 when she showed up at the radio station the first time. So, the radio station brought everybody together. And the great thing about that college radio station is it put us into a network of other college radio stations that we used to in our first tours of the United States when we drove around in a van. We had the names of these different college radio stations, and we'd call them up, and they would tell us where to play and turn us on to people who had big apartments that would let us sleep on their floor. And the college radio network was a real big thing in the development of, you know, what you described as alternative college rock, for sure, indie rock.
Well, coming up next hour, we're going to continue our conversation with the great Dennis Drew from 10,000 Maniacs and talk about the band working really hard, getting success in the UK, and then making it really big here in America. We'll talk to Dennis coming up next hour. He'll rejoin us at about 8:10. Tuesday morning in Mid-Michigan on Sunny 97.7. Good morning.